Good morning. Today is Friday, the 15th of September. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Foggy enough for you, I anticipate.
It is. No comment this morning. It was a disappointing.
Oh, no, this is like, this is cool. This is fall.
Oh, okay.
For me.
Okay. We're celebrating the fog here.
Yes.
Maybe the comet will be visible again late tonight. Have you seen the comet this week?
No, I haven't seen a whole lot this week.
In the eastern sky. Okay. It's been fun.
One of my morning walks, I was trying to figure out how is the moon on the east over the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on sunrise, and we've got a shadow. Okay, my simple. You'd have sun, earth, moon. But the sun's coming up behind the moon. What is going on here? I crossed the street and totally forgot and walked and continued.
That is not our why do we say it question this
morning. No. Well, and it's not even anymore.
Oh, the new book is called The Little Book of Answers.
Yes. So now all of the answers that we need. Why is a self-employed professional called a freelancer?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. A freelancer. Your books tend to have a similar theme. A freelancer. I would think that it would be something dating back to when folks were freed and no longer slaves, but that might be too obvious.
I think this, yeah, well, when do they have lances?
When do they have lances?
Jousting.
Wow, that's a little
horses,
further back.
Armor. The word freelance came out of the period between the 14th and 16th centuries, when mercenary knights with no particular allegiance, would take their lances into the battle for the prince or state that paid them the most money. They were referred to as freelancers by authors in the 19th century and operated much like gunfighters in the American West. Now a freelancer is anyone who works independently. It almost makes sense. It was there for you.
It was right
low hanging.
It was right there.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to change my Halloween costume now. And when people ask me, I'll say I'm a freelancer.
Oh. You get into Halloween, huh? Or is it just the party part?
It's just the fog today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, you know, things emerge out of the fog that were sometimes surprising for everybody. Comments on the enrollment situation at Humboldt. Surprise to you?
No, absolutely right on schedule. My almost to perfect prediction. For me.
For you? Oh.
Yeah.
You didn't sense that there was this big groundswell and tidal wave more than normal.
I thought there was going to be incremental growth. I did. And we've talked about this for a few years now. I think there is a ton of interest in the Cal Poly designation. And there is a lot of excitement seeing new families and students in town. You feel a different sense of excitement around the STEM, the science and technology, and the new majors that are coming out of Cal Poly. But I also think that experience in our area shows that our growth is going to continue to be very measured.
Because of
we're a long ways away. And I know it doesn't feel that way for us up here. But what I've learned for, students and families coming from the L.A. or the San Francisco area, even or anything south of San Francisco, this still feels like a distance for them when they have so many other options and alternatives closer at home where they can stay at home and live at home and go to school. So, I think we're going to continue to see growth at Cal Poly. I think it's going to be measured similar to this year or maybe a little bit greater for a few years. Ultimately, I think they will reach some of their enrollment targets. I just never thought it was going to be quite as quick as what some of the numbers were that were reported.
Is housing a limiter?
Absolutely.
Or is it the cost of housing?
Absolutely.
It's the limiter. Well, no.
It's units. Right now, it is unit count. We do not have enough units. Yeah, period. And I think that's what you see in all of the cities in this region going through housing, some sort of long-range planning around housing and looking at the need to create more housing.
Is it housing within a certain drive? Housing within 5 miles, housing within 20 miles, housing within the county. I mean, as housing becomes more of a discussion point and a recognition point, some of these things that might have been seen as extraneous in the past now are really impactful. I mean, if Rio Dell had, okay, nothing in the works, 2,000 units all of a sudden. Well, does that alleviate the housing issue for Humboldt? Probably not.
I don't think so. I mean, I do think it helps. I do actually think that they would be filled.
There could be a shift and a move and then mm-hmm. backfilling in and yeah. you know, those types.
But I think the hubs of Arcata and Eureka, Fortuna, McKinleyville, I mean, I think those areas are real centralized hubs where housing is critical. I mean, we just simply do not have vacant spaces in Arcata.
So what is going on then for these students? I know that there was a little bit of a backlash about the school either accepting or not accepting mm-hmm. existing students. Mm-hmm. And you know, just kind of set that one aside. Where are they now? Or are they just not here?
No, I think that they're here. We saw, you know, small incremental growth. I think they'll probably be up 450, maybe 500 students, you know, by the end of the first semester in terms of student count over last year. A lot of those are in campus housing. You know, I mean, I think there was some...
Which seems logical.
Yeah. Right? There was some unfortunate messaging that came out around there wasn't going to be enough housing. So I do think a lot of second-year students went out and found housing and probably, you know, linked up and might be living with a few more people than they had hoped to, but now they're off campus and they're enjoying that.
It's college.
It is, yeah. So yeah. The last count that I heard is I think the campus had, you know, at least 40 or 50 beds that were still available. So I'm still, if I'm running into students that are concerned about housing, I say go back to housing and talk to them again because I do still think there's some options.
And these aren't hammocks under the overhang. No, on the south side of the building.
No, several of them are at the Comfort Inn Hotel. But I've talked to several students there, and we can talk about that because we have a new bus on the every half hour that's coming from the Comfort Inn. And the students that I've taught who've taken that bus in are loving their accommodations
there. It's the Comfort Bus. When we come back.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So what is that stuff in your cup? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, Brian looked like you didn't bring me any, and I looked and I said, I don't think you want it. It's actually just matcha green tea, but, you know, it just looks like a green energy drink or something.
Oh, no, it looks like it came out of the pond.
Yeah.
And I'll spot you on the taste.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned that in the last break that a number of the students are commuting in from Valley West.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of something that I guess is starting to get traction throughout the country because I'm hearing about it more. Maybe I'm recognizing what I'm hearing now rather than it's something that's new.
Sure.
Is that a subset then of the AMRTS or is this a special shuttle that the school is doing to accommodate just the students?
Yes and yes. It's not just a student bus, but the university is solely funding it. But the bus is running on the regular Arcata Med River Transit route. So anyone in the community can jump on that bus. We're calling it the green and gold route. And it's running, you know, one of our big goals, the issues not only for students, but for, you know, all of our community is that our bus, because we're small, we don't have a lot of money, we don't have a huge mass.
Critical mass, yes.
So we haven't had the finances to run the bus more frequently than on the hour. And for a lot of people, you know, that's just not frequent enough to feel comfortable using the bus as a regular commuting day. So last year when the university started housing some students temporarily out in hotels in the Valley West area, they were running sort of a personal shuttle if students needed it. They had a van that would run them to and from campus. Yeah.
Okay.
And it worked all right, but they, you know, the students just said, I'd rather just have something that I could count on regularly. And if it was on the half hour, then, you know, I could use that and that would feel, you know, confident to make it to class or make it to the meal plan. Or so they funded that, and so our entire community gets the benefit then of that transit route that goes from campus out to Valley West. It stops at several other spaces, you know, as it makes that loop,
like Arcata High.
Yeah, in the Arcata High area. It'll the university actually purchased the Stewart School building across the street from Arcata.
Oh, really?
High.
What are they doing in there?
I think ultimately it'll mostly be classroom space. I mean, they still have a lot of it under private lease. You know, they're just looking for that. But and some projects that they'll be doing with the the high school campus as well. So,
about housing.
Nice satellite.
Nip that one early.
Not that I've heard. Yeah, no, nothing in housing in that area. And then ultimately, the shuttle doesn't go there now, but ultimately the shuttle will go down to Samoa Boulevard, where they'll have the sort of the medical nursing technology center as well. So
it's, yeah, a shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
For the school, that almost makes sense as they do their expansion out.
Yeah. And we have the two brand new electric buses. So I think people are, you know, that are taking the bus for the first time in this region are surprised, you know, a little bit at just sort of the quality of our fleet.
That we have, or how much there is, or the condition of?
Yeah, all of that. The comfort of the ride.
You're all inclusive this morning.
I am. Yeah. And we're bringing Wi-Fi to all the buses. So we're really trying to make it a little bit more affordable and a little bit more practical and more convenient to take the bus.
These upgrades, mm-hmm. are they permanent? I can remember way back, and this was like in the mid-80s, Gene Rhodes, who was running the Transit Authority at the time,
came from way back.
Yeah. He said, public transportation never can cover itself.
That's true.
Always going to be a cost, and it's just how much cost is the community interested in. At that time, BART was still new and clean,
right.
and he said they at peak, they're still losing 40%.
Yeah, that's okay. I can't speak to that number, but it's probably true. Right. It's just still much, much cheaper than building new roads and highways and auto infrastructure everywhere, right? So, I mean, I think in comparison, it still is, I can't say pennies on the dollar, but it's quarters on the dollar.
<You know? laughs> But it never looked to it to be a profit center.
Absolutely not. It's not about that.
It can't.
Yeah. 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 What we call it is like fare box ratio, right? Like how much do the fares to the actual folks that contribute to their ride, does that cover? And it's a very small percentage of the overall cost of transit.
So when these routes are added, or any mm-hmm. routes, mm-hmm. not just the ones that Humboldt is covering, during financial crunch periods, does public transportation become one of those that's scrutinized? Or is that kind of a sacred cow, I guess it would be a sacred bus.
Yeah. in our area, it hasn't been because our system has been so small. You know, I mean, perhaps if we really ended up with a robust system at some point in the future, I still think if you really build a good mass transit system, people are relying on that heavily for their daily commute to and from their jobs. So it becomes critical infrastructure, sort of the term that, you know, we coined in the pandemic. those are essential jobs. And our buses. And
that's
our,
the one that yeah. we got back in the 80s, yes.
And our buses, you know, they rolled through the whole pandemic. So I tend to think that that's going to be the type of infrastructure that stays. Now, ultimately, when you're not in a huge economic downturn, but you're just doing your standard planning, bus routes run off of, you know, what's their ridership? How full are your buses?
There's a ratio of some sort.
Then at some point you're analyzing and saying, let's try something else. You know, we're hearing much higher need for Sunday service than we are for staying open from 7 to 10 Monday through Friday. You know, so you just start to weigh, where do you want to put your resources? But the other big change I should share that the city made this year, because we really, to run just in Arcata, I call it like we were running on a shoestring budget, and the shoestring was like frayed on both sides about to meet in the center. So we actually have contracted all of our drivers to Humboldt Transit Authority. So really looking at consolidating under one large transit hub that garner those efficiencies and try to build the strongest system we can for the whole county.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So if Humboldt's modest growth is there, was that a surprise to some of the merchants? I know you guys were spending a fair amount of infrastructure investment dollars.
We are.
Around the plaza.
Yeah. New sidewalks going in right now. Please visit our businesses. Yeah. They're all open, even if the sidewalks are torn up in front of them.
Walk the sidewalks.
Take the back doors. Yeah. Still shop in Arcata. And hopefully within a week or so, they'll be done. And the new sidewalks are looking really good.
What was wrong with the old ones?
You hadn't been on them in a while.
No, believe it or not, I actually was.
Yeah. He says proudly that he shops in Arcata. You know, they just crack and wear over time. And Arcata has this balance. If we want to commit to having street trees, and the street trees still have roots, and it ultimately takes a toll. And earthquakes over time, and water breaks over time, and at some point, you know, sidewalks.
So just fatigue.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't a lawsuit driven.
No, although, you know, no, it was not. No, no, let's just knock on wood on that one. But proactive maintenance is what wards that off as well.
Yeah, you had five quick, no. So how do you determine which sidewalks need replacement? Is it like roads? Is there a schedule and just every X number of decades it's time?
It's not quite, yes, there is a schedule, but it is really based on condition. So our city engineers do assess that. And then, but if that section comes up for a reassessment and it all looks good, then you just move to the next one. So it's not like we're certainly never going to replace a piece of concrete just because it's on the schedule. I wish we had that kind of money, but we certainly
don't. Or if it's in between two really needing, it might be efficient to do it in one shot.
Sure. And the traffic, the pedestrian traffic, on those sections also play into it. So to and from schools or around your downtown business areas.
Not that it's wearing out the concrete.
No.
About on the plaza side?
On the interior.
Yeah, there are some that are significantly lower. I'm thinking of rain and things of that nature. Is that when one side gets addressed, does the other side get a hard look or get automatic replacement, or is it just a totally separate schedule and they're not connected at all?
You mean the interior in the plaza and the around the business area?
Yeah.
What you mean?
Yeah, the sidewalks around the plaza. Not around the businesses around the plaza, but
yeah. We look at the plaza as a whole, but you also try not to tear up the whole plaza at once, right? Because it is all still open for business. So we'll take it in sections. We did the large, the removal of the planter in the center of the plaza 2 years ago, and so we reconcreted the whole center. We'll take it piece by piece. We try to keep our plaza open year-round. So that means you don't do it all at once.
Yeah. When was the last time somebody mentioned McKinley to you?
It's been a while. But now I will no longer be able to say that this
week. Well, morning. That was a whisper in the wind that just kind of came through.
Yeah.
Are there plans to redesign the plaza area itself, or is what we see now pretty much what's going to be recognizable in 20 or 25 years?
Yeah, history would tell us that about every 17 years the topic comes up. And
bring right back now, the bandstand and all that kind of stuff, or something more significant?
We've seen renovations around bandstands. We've seen renovations around even adding more commercial areas or spaces around the plaza to fill in. We've seen
on the plaza itself,
playgrounds
on the inside.
Mm-hmm. I mean, over time, there's been all sorts of conversations about the plaza. Right now, there's nothing active. We have a plaza improvement task force report that was completed right before the pandemic. So the council is still looking at projects associated with that report. And the one that they just awarded a bid to is one of the projects that came out of that improvement task force was taking 8th and 9th Street that run east and west in Arcata and border the plaza on both sides. And between the plaza and K Street is making those one-way with diagonal parking and improved pedestrian and bicycle lanes. So it does actually add parking that would feed into the plaza. It will reduce the traffic one way on both of the. There's actually the first block out from the plaza on 8th and 9th Street is one way. So if you think of in front of Rita's or in front of the post office or in front of campground, that is. So it's like extending just that a few more blocks
pushing
down.
Pushing it down.
Yeah. So that's a project that we just awarded a bid for that came out of that report.
What has to be done other than paint?
There's certainly some curbing and bulb out work and sidewalk work.
Not a ton of work,
lighting.
Though.
It's not a huge. No, it's not a huge project. But, yeah, but it'll be a change for those streets and how traffic flows around that area. It'll be interesting. But that was.
Interesting.
But I'd say, well, I thought it was interesting. Well, because we just talked about the idea of changing the plaza comes up every 20 years. And you think, so we went through a really intensive project on, or group of people that came together on this task force to try to, again, address what could we do that would make the plaza better. And I thought this was one of the most, I mean, creative, maybe it's small, but it was kind of a creative idea of we can actually improve pedestrian and bicycle. We can actually improve potential parking for the plaza and, you know, start to create this bridge that we've really wanted to create between sort of the plaza downtown, you know, business area and the Creamery District businesses, too. So it starts that.
What about Northtown? Is that just kind of out on its island?
It is. I wouldn't say it's out on its island, but it is up the hill. So,
all right. On the mountaintop, perhaps, yeah, might have been a better.
And it's so close to the university that I think it just has its nice kind of little local niche up there that, you know, keeps it humming pretty good that close to the health centers, you know, both of the current open door clinics and now the new open door clinic, you know, really feed into that whole region.
I was thinking of the concept of one way, one lane, mm-hmm, diagonal parking, run that up the hill or down the hill instead of those goofy cement planter things that get forklifted.
Long live the cement planter. No.
Yeah. Oh, I see. This was a personal interest.
Oh, no, it was not.
Project, yeah. I mean, I think something like that, if you got it down to one lane, at least then it's consistent instead of this got to turn, may not turn, if you want to turn, different personality block by block coming down the hill.
One lane, G&H Street, did come up with the traffic kind of specialist, Dan Burnin, that came into the area a couple months ago. He was in all of our communities. There would need to be some traffic study around, you know, even queuing out to the highway to do that. But it is something that this council has put on a list to at least look at.
Studies are legal requirements?
Typically, for large-scale road changes, you want to be able to demonstrate that an engineering study was done to, you know, draw conclusions that this would move traffic safely.
You're just going to have a couple public hearings, and if everybody in the community went, yeah, okay, that sure, fine, or yay, rah, 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 you couldn't go with that?
You sure could. But when we talked about that legally, trip and fall, yeah, yeah. That's not what I'd want to be on the stand with. But it is an important component, right? Because if your community is not behind, because again, we were talking at the break about all of this, these changes in our streetscape is to slow traffic. We drive really fast in our country, even in our small towns. We were talking amongst, you know, many of us in the city and the council coming out of a meeting about if you just try, because one of Dan Burden's big things is if everyone drove 20 miles an hour, we would have no pedestrian fatalities in our communities. And if you just try to do that.
You'd have a commute, though, of about 4 hours to go from Fortuna to Arcata.
Yeah, not on the highways.
Oh.
But once you get off the highways, you're probably not going to waste more than 5 minutes in a week. But it is hard to do to set your car at 20 and just drive through town. So a lot of what...
Particularly with the looks and that you get.
Right. I mean, even 25 is hard, and most of our speed limits are 25 on our residential, you know, area roads.
Yeah, in the neighborhoods.
Yeah. And so ultimately, our engineers in our cities have started to create barriers to driving quickly. And they do feel inconvenient for us right now because we're used to being able to take those corners fast and... You know, have those straightaways that
are always running late.
Speed, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of enjoyable sometimes just putting along.
It is.
Then
I've also felt grateful that I could do 10 errands in 30 minutes and get back to the office in the great city that I work in. Right?
All walking distance.
Sometimes. But if I want to get out to West End or out to Sunny Bray... Can't do that in 30 minutes walking.
Nice cover. KINS, News and Information, it's 844. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 849. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Deemer from the city of Arcata. Still have a little bit of chance for some construction.
Well, we have a lot of construction, yeah.
You going to be able to hit it all?
Yeah, we are. We just awarded a bid for the renovations of Old Arcata Road. We are still actively getting
ready. Are they going to break dirt this year?
They are, yep. Yeah, we're starting on the north side, so from Buttermilk Lane to Jacoby Creek School. G.R. Sundberg received that bid. And then we've got still doing construction.
Randy's all over the place anymore, isn't he?
Yeah, we have seven different large contractors under contract in the city right now, local contractors.
All locals.
So it's really exciting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a really, really fun construction season. But, yep, we're still going to try to get part of our water tank up. We've got two huge park renovations in Carlson Park. That's a two-year project. Redwood Park, I think we're still hoping to get the playground equipment in this year before the rain, so that might be a fingers crossed one, but the equipment at least came in last 2 weeks ago.
So it's in boxes?
Yeah, some of it does come in boxes.
Nobody's celebrating
pieces,
Christmas
yeah.
yet?
yeah, pieces of it. A lot of it just comes, you know, kind of shrink-wrapped, the big pieces. But so that's exciting, and I think we're paving what we call the pump track. It's a kind of like train you how to ride mountain bikes before you go up into the forest. It's kind of a training area down within Redwood Park. So we have that one going. We've got tons, of course, of sidewalk and street work that's happening and our annual paving projects that are occurring. So, yeah, we have a lot of construction. So thank you for your patience. But we're actually really proud of being able to maintain our city right now in a way that will live for a lot of years forward.
Is next year going to be as active, or kind of pushing through a lot of these projects in the last couple of years?
Well, our engineering department is just kind of knocking it out of the park. So, yeah, I think we're in for a five-year ride. And we have the huge renovation of our wastewater treatment plant, too. So that is
That's not in the neighborhood. That's not in front of your grocery store. That's not where you're driving to school.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you get feedback on that stuff? People say, hey, this is kind of cool. This is neat. Or
sometimes.
Is it? Uh-oh, I got
sometimes
the look.
It's not
like,
convenient.
Why are you doing that? Why are you spending money there?
No, we don't get that. We don't get that. No, we don't. It's just sometimes, sometimes our construction can be inconvenient. Yeah. But of course, we get tons of kudos and love around any time that we can renovate a park, build a new playground, bring kids and families together. And Redwood Park is really exciting because, I mean, talk about a premier park space in Humboldt County. It is idyllic up there. You know, the trees block the wind with that big meadow and the playground. So, yeah, it'll be fun to see people really come back to that space.
Is it safe?
Yeah. What do you mean safe? Here's why I say that. You're going to say something different. Say that because I want playgrounds that do... that have risk and challenge. I want our kids to take risk and learn that.
That was.
I know. So as I said, that's not where you were going.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's had its ups and it's had its downs over the time that it's been there.
Oh, Redwood Park?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a great space for a solid 15, 20 years now.
Tells you how long it's been since, well, no, it doesn't, since I was up there playing ball.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. And that is, and especially our trails, they are getting a ton of use. And they were getting a lot of use before, but when the pandemic hit and everybody started spending time outside, our trails just saw, you know, a tenfold
kind of reinfused everybody
in usage.
Yeah.
But so the downside of that is that the complaints that we're hearing is dogs off leash and conflicts on the trail at times. But the upside that we're hearing is that people are feeling really safe out on the trails because there's lots of other people, eyes and ears out there with them using them.
Lots of exposure.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So
it's a good time to get back out into the trails.
Is there an expansion of the parking up there?
There's some renovation. There is some future plans for additional, but there's repairs. I mean, if you've been up, you haven't been up there recently, but when we talk about tree roots and parking, Redwood Park has some prime
example.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Some of the largest mounds in the middle of a parking space.
So those are going to be addressed also.
Yeah. That's good deal. Today.
All right. Made it through yet again. See everybody on Monday.